This coming Wednesday, October the 5th, will be Day of Atonement. Right? So Mr. Nance is going to be here, and he'll be delivering that sermon on October the 5th. So I thought I would talk about the same subject today and talk about influence on the world and his lack of success in dealing with God's people. So, title of my sermon is Satan the Destroyer. Satan the Destroyer. Most people don't believe that there's a real devil. Did you know that? George Barclay surveys of Christian churches, not ours, but others professing Christian churches. And his survey back in 2009 revealed that only 26% of professing Christians agreed that Satan is a living being and not just a symbol of evil. So if you don't think somebody exists, you're not worried too much about him, right? Okay. According to the Bible, he is real. But he rebelled against God. And now he's the enemy of all mankind. And Peter warns us, I'm not going to ask you to turn there, it's in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he's our enemy, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we need to be aware that Satan is indeed a real being, and that he is our enemy. And if you talk about enemies, he's as big of an enemy and as evil an enemy as we would ever want to see. Okay? But his beginning was encouraging, you might say. Let's go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. And while I'm going there, I'll just say that in Gospel of John, John 1, verses 1 and 2, says that God created thing through Jesus Christ. Now keep that in mind. Everything. That includes the angels. They created many angels. They created three angels who were the top angels. They were probably overseers of the other angels. One was Gabriel. One was Michael. Lucifer. Lucifer means light bringer. Morning star. Sounds good, doesn't it? The Bible says he was perfect when God created him until iniquity was found in him. So where did it come from? It didn't come from God. He was the origin of sin, I guess you might say. Let's look at Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, we'll read a little bit about Lucifer. Lucifer in Isaiah 14, verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. It says, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground. So his origin was heaven, wasn't it? God's throne, as I'll see here in a minute. You who weaken the nations, you said in your heart, I'll ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Above the stars of God. So who's above the stars of God? God. I'll sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. One to take God's place, really. Which is pretty ambitious for somebody who was created by God. You would think that he would have enough common sense to realize that God was more powerful than he. And so it says in verse 15, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, or the grave, or nothing, to the lowest depths of the pit. In verse 17, we might notice that, who made the world as a wilderness. made the world as a wilderness, destroyed its cities, did not open the house for its prisoners, made the world a wilderness. Well, let's go to Ezekiel 8. We read about Satan quite a bit in these two chapters, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. And we learn quite a bit about him there. Ezekiel 28, verse 12. Now, in just reading this firsthand, you're looking about an individual, a human being. And it says in Ezekiel 28, 12, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre. King of Tyre. But we'll read that this king of Tyre is not a human being. Because it says in the same verse, you were the seal of perfection. Right? When babies are born, they're not perfect, are they? And so this individual was not a human being. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Who was in Eden? God was there, walking in the cool of the morning. Adam and Eve were there. There was one more individual that was there, right? The serpent, who was Satan. And it talks about how beautiful it was and so forth. It says, verse 14, you were the anointed cherub who covers. He covered God's throne. He was right there at the throne of God for hard to tell how many years. Maybe a millennia. 15, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Perfect. Okay. Now, so, Lucifer had a name change because of that. Let's go to Matthew 4. Matthew 4, where Jesus mentions two of his names. Matthew 4. Lucifer means light bringer. Morning star. Matthew 4, chapter 1, or verse 1. Jesus was being tempted by Satan. Prior to this, Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. That's hard to believe that any human being could do that. Moses did, I think twice. And so I admire Moses very much for that. And it doesn't say so, but apparently Jesus and Moses both had something to drink. I don't think you could go 40 days and nights, some kind of liquid. But at any rate, after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, Satan came to tempt him. First thing he tempted him with was hunger. In verse 4, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. Now, his name had been changed before this, but when it calls him the devil. The devil. What's the devil mean? It means accuser or slanderer. Accuser or slanderer. And so, he slanders God. Said, if you are the Son of God, make these rocks, turn the rocks into bread. So Jesus didn't fall for that. And Satan took him up on a high hill and said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. And quoted the Bible. Satan is pretty good at quoting the Bible. He doesn't necessarily quote it correctly or with the right meaning, but he knows what it says. And then finally, he took him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Must have been a pretty high mountain. And he said he would give them all those things if he would fall down and worship him. Him worshiping devil instead of the devil worshiping him, his creator. And so Jesus called him by his other name then. It said in verse 10, away with you, Satan. Satan means adversary or enemy. He is the enemy. Correctly identified. He's our enemy today. And so he left when Jesus said, leave. Away with you. He didn't have a choice. Now, go to Ephesians 6 for just a minute, if you will. Galatians, Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. I'm not going to spend much time on this, but probably a good subject for a sermon someday. Ephesians 6 talks about, in verse 14, talks about the whole armor of God. Ephesians 13, where it starts in verse 13, really. Ephesians 6, verse 13. Whole armor of God. It includes truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, God's word, praying, and perseverance. We need to do all those things or have those qualities in our life. And then we can withstand Satan and his ways in this world. But Satan tried unsuccessfully to destroy many things that God created or had or loved or was working with. Satan, of course, subtly deceived Eve. And, God had told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree or they would die. And Satan said, well, you eat of that. And she ate of the tree and she didn't die. But now she's been dead almost 6,000 years, right? So she did die. Satan deceived her. They could have had immortal life, I suppose, if they'd obeyed God. That's something that God ought to do, isn't it? Although we know that we'll die in this life, in our human form, as Lendl did, that's as sure as the sun coming up, the sun going down. So Satan tried to destroy the earth, first thing. God created the heavens and the earth. Let's go back to Genesis 1 and look at it real quickly. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form. Now, that word was could also be translated became. That would be correct as well. It's the translator's choice. So they use was. It's more correct. Void and darkness was on the face of the deep. So forth and so on. But did God create it that way? Let's look at Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45 and verse 18. Isaiah 45 verse 18. I think Mr. Armstrong covered this years ago. Doesn't hurt to look at it again, I guess. Isaiah 45 verse 18. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who established it, who did create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. And yet, when we read in Genesis, the earth was without form and void. God created things like that. When I was younger and could see better, I liked to build a few things around the house myself. And I built this for my wife. They're still there. Still on the wall, I mean. But when I created them, they weren't void, you know. They weren't just a bunch of junk. Created them to look like kitchen cabinets. They do. When God created the earth, he didn't create it as a big blob. Created it inhabited. And so it was. But what happened to it? What happened to it? Isaiah 14, verses 17. In Lucifer's fall. I think we read this before, but I wanted to read it again. Isaiah 14, verse 17. Who made the world as a wilderness. It's talking about this individual, Lucifer. Who made the world as a wilderness. And maybe a prophecy of the future destroyed its cities. Okay. A lot of destruction before Christ returns. So God renewed the faith, didn't he? Made it beautiful, livable. And it even has deposits of oil and coal now. Maybe they weren't there when God originally created it. But after Satan's destruction, all the dinosaurs and so forth died off. All the plant life at that time maybe died off. So God brought something good out of destruction. That's one thing that Satan tried to do, destroy the earth, but he failed at that. He also tried to destroy some individuals. One of them was Job. Job. So let's turn to Job. Now Job was said the greatest of the men of the East. The Bible talks about all of his possessions and everything and his wealth. He was also a very righteous man. His character was very good. He perhaps had a flaw in that character in that he didn't have as much respect for God as he should have. But overall, I mean, you would like Job to be your neighbor. You never have to worry about anybody stealing anything from you. And if you needed to borrow something from him, I'm sure he would help you. You never have to fear Job. But that's what God said to Satan. And so Satan says in the book of Job 1 verse 9, Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household and everything he has? Verse 11, but stretch out your hand, and he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. False accusation, wasn't it? Job never did that. Through all of the torment that Satan put him through, where he lost everything, including his children, except his wife. He didn't lose her. And so, I'm sure I don't think I could withstand what Job did. But he survived. And finally God blessed him with everything. He had more than he did to begin with. And he had more children. He still had his wife. So, Satan tried to destroy Job by making him curse God. But he didn't. Satan will try to make us maybe curse God or turn our backs on God from some trials that we have. But we don't have to worry about that. God's not going to do that to us. He may test us and try us, but not more than we can withstand. And it's all for our benefit. And so Satan failed in his attempt to destroy Job. Satan also doesn't like the Jews. Wanted them to be destroyed way before Christ was born. See, Christ was prophesied to be from the tribe of Judah. So Satan wanted to foil that too. So if you look at the book of Esther, we were in Job, just a book right before Job. Esther chapter 3. There was a man named Haman. And Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. Mordecai was a Jew. Haman was descended from Agite. Remember the king Agag that Saul refused to kill? Well, his descendants lived on. And here is Haman's one of them. And so he's determined to get rid of Mordecai and all the Jews. So he had letters sent out. Verse 13, Esther 3, verse 13. All the letters were sent by courier unto the king's province to kill and annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, to plunder their possessions. Kind of like the early version of the Holocaust, right? Except more severe. Wants to kill them all. But God stopped that. And so the Jews survived. And Jesus Christ was born of the lineage of Judah. Satan also wanted to destroy King David and even Israel if he could. And so, First Chronicles, chapter 21. It's kind of an unusual story. David had been king for a while. And Israel had been numbered over the years from time to time. But this is an unusual situation. And 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1 says, Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. Why would he do that? Why would just numbering Israel doesn't sound like a bad thing, does it? Must mean that David was seeing how armies were and how many people he had that he could draft into military service just in case of war or something like that. Maybe he wasn't depending upon God to deliver him. He was depending upon his army to deliver him. That's the best that I can get out of that in reading some other commentaries. Against Joab's advice, David, against his better thoughts, Joab took David's word and went and numbered Israel. And what happened was 70,000 men of Israel were killed just because of that. And you might think that was enough, but there was one more thing that David did that obviously Satan inspired him to do. It had to do with his relationship with Bathsheba. She was a beautiful woman, and David desired to have her as his wife, even though she was married to another man. And so, in one of the battles that they were fighting with another country, David sent a message to the commander of the army, saying, and this man's name was Uriah, send Uriah into the heat of a battle. And don't. So he did. Against his better judgment, Uriah died. God was not pleased with us, was he? You would think that would have been the end of David, wouldn't you? what David did, God wants us to do. God doesn't want anyone to perish, but that all would come to repentance. And that's what David did. He repented. So God forgave him, left him on the throne. Now, the Bible tells us that King David will be resurrected in the future, and he'll be king over Israel at that time. Isn't it amazing that somebody could sin so terribly? And maybe that's the weakness that Satan saw in God, that he is merciful. He forgives our sins, too, if we repent. And if we do, then we can be in God's kingdom, just like David. So Satan couldn't destroy David, even though he did him harm, didn't he? Satan has tried to destroy Jesus Christ, too, but he failed. Satan now wants to destroy God's church. Go to Acts chapter 8. He wants to destroy God's church. Acts chapter 8. Verse 1. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. Well, I could read the verse that, but basically what was going on is a man named Stephen, who was a follower of God and Jesus Christ, was being stoned. And verse 60, Acts 7, verse 60, he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge him with the sin." And when he said this, he fell asleep. Now, chapter 8, verse 1. Saul was consenting to his death. Saul was a very religious Jew and persecuted Christians. Because it says, at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations. As for Saul, he didn't lament over Stephen's death. He made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Now, who would suspect that this individual that Satan was using so well against the church, God would call? But he did. Chapter 9, Acts chapter 9. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, that's Christians, whether he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Okay, he still hates the church, hates all people who are professing Christians. They're probably true Christians back then. And verse 3. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. He fell to the ground, heard a voice say to Saul, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads." Verse 6. So he, trembling and astonished, says, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you'll be told what you should do." Okay. Paul was converted. Somebody like that. You would think God would pick a better man, wouldn't you? But he didn't. He picked Saul. Of course, Saul did have one attribute. He was zealous. He was zealous. He was just wrong to begin with. And Saul repented. And God used him greatly to raise up the church. So Satan failed with Paul, didn't he? Or Saul. Satan failed with him. In a big way. Although he was, looked like he was doing pretty well for a while. That is Satan. Now, Satan sometimes used church leaders to destroy the church. Acts 20. That doesn't seem right, does it? Acts 20, verse 29. This is Paul to the leaders of the church. Acts 20 and verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves, to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also for yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, give you unto all those who are sanctified. Okay. So he was warning them that that might happen. Now let's go to Matthew. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 18. This is Jesus speaking. So he's the ultimate authority. Speaking to Peter. In verse 17, Jesus answered him and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." That's that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. In verse 18, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock," talking about himself, Jesus, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the grave, shall not prevail against it." That's Jesus Christ's word. There's always going to be a church that follows after Jesus Christ. Father. Always going to be. Satan cannot destroy that. He can make havoc in the church from time to time and has, but he's never going to be destroyed. Never going to be able to destroy it. Church has survived. Now, let's go to Revelation 20. Rough times are ahead. Tough times are ahead. Revelation 20, verse 4. This is after Satan is bound years. Read that in verse 2. Revelation 20, verse 4. It says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus, for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image," something in the future, "had not received his mark on their foreheads, and they lived and reigned for Christ, with Christ for 1,000 years. So people who are following God and Jesus Christ at the end time will be martyred, many of them. I hope it's not you or me. But we don't know how much time is left. Be martyrs. But that's not the end. Satan may be able to get some of us killed. Verse 5. The rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. First resurrection is those who were martyred before Christ returned. So even if Satan manages to get some of us killed, we remain loyal to God, like Lindell did, we can be a part of that first resurrection. Now, let's go to James 4. James 4. James and Peter. James 4, verses 7. James 4, verse 7. We can resist Satan at this particular time. God's Holy Spirit. I'll start in verse 6. Therefore, he says, talking about God, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, double-minded. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So, humble ourselves in God's sight, and he'll help us. He'll hear our prayers. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 38. Paul writing. He'd been through many things. He had persecuted Christians, gone to the other side and been persecuted. But he says in verse 38, I am persuaded that neither life or death or life, angels or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, height nor depth, nor any other created thing, and that includes Satan, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Satan can't do that unless we let him. As long as we remain faithful to God, Satan can't do it. Revelation 20. Verse 6. I've seen it before. I don't know. Won't hurt to read it again if I do. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. That will be us if we die before Christ returns. Over such, the second death has no power. They shall be priests of God in Christ and reign with him 1,000 years. Reign with him 1,000 years. Now that's ways from what Satan's goal would be. Destroy us, right? That we're going to live forever and help Christ rule the earth during the 1,000 years, the millennium. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Well, Satan is the destroyer. His name was Lucifer, a light bringer, to being Satan, the destroyer. God creates, Satan destroys. God has given you and I forgiveness for our sins. He's helped us to repent. We've been baptized and we received his. Satan cannot destroy that. Unless we willfully let him do that. His main goal in life is to destroy everything that God has made. He wants to take God's place. How awful that would be if he was in charge rather than God. And we see from reading the Bible that he always has failed. Even when it looks like he has made a great victory, in the case of Job, he fails at the end. Job's going to be in God's kingdom. Satan is not. We will be given eternal life. Satan will have no power whatsoever. So let's look forward to that day when Satan is banished, when we are in God's kingdom as immortal spirit beings, living forever with God.